Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Football Focus podcast brought to you by Tommy's Pizza 2. We are here for a special Super Bowl edition of the podcast. I'm William Gagan, joined by Kevin Pomeroy. As we speak right now, it is Wednesday night. Our toes are still getting circulation back in them after a cold night at Hendricken. But we got a Super Bowl to talk about. Hendricken took care of business in the semifinals against Cranston East with a dominant second half, winning 35-21. And LaSalle, the top-ranked team in the state all season, really took care of business against Portsmouth with a 42-14 victory. And so now the Hawks and Rams will meet again. Before last year, they hadn't met ever in the Super Bowl, and now 2 years in a row. So a big matchup of rivals and kind of the matchup, you know, people maybe thought they'd see all year.
I can't believe that this is only the second time they've
it
ever
is amazing.
Met. We put a stat up last year in our newspaper that 18 consecutive years, either Hendricken or LaSalle had played in the Super Bowl, but they'd never played against each other. This is 19 now, and now this is two times in a row they've played against each other, and fittingly, because they've probably been the two best teams. Last year they certainly were, and this year I think they have been too. Like you just said, we just watched Hendricken play Cranston East, and if you watched those halves separately, it was like you were watching two different games. I mean, that first half against East, it was 14-7 East at the break. I thought East kind of dictated the play, really ran their offense the way they wanted to, and in the second half, it was the best half of football I've seen Hendricken play this season without any question. I mean, they didn't throw the ball, but they didn't have to throw the ball. They ran the ball 35 consecutive times in the second half. And just, I don't remember a play where they didn't get at least 4 yards. It seemed like even on plays when East had some, made first contact near the line of scrimmage, Hendricken was able to get forward for a few yards. It was just a dominant performance by their offensive line, a dominant performance by their running backs. And it was very, very clear that they were able to dial it up and get things the way they wanted to in the biggest moment of their season so far.
Absolutely. They really kind of reclaimed their identity. You know, they've been a running team. They've had the dominant offensive line. This year, they didn't always thrive in those situations, but in this game, they absolutely did. And it's the reason they're back in the Super Bowl. LaSalle, on the flip side, pretty much dominated against Portsmouth. I think we talked about in the podcast earlier this week how if any team had a good shot to play LaSalle's game and upset them, it was Portsmouth, and Portsmouth just couldn't keep up at all.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like Portsmouth played LaSalle's game at all because LaSalle had 48 points and Portsmouth had 14. So we weren't there, but what we heard, you know, a lopsided decision was 35-7 at the half. And, I mean, LaSalle's just, they're very, very good. And especially if they build up a lead like that, you know, if they get out in front of you because of the way their offense is, where they can play fast, they can play slow, they can, you know, run for the big play. They have a lot of different things they can do there. It's very hard to get back in the game, and Portsmouth found that out tonight. A Portsmouth team that only lost to LaSalle by 17 in the regular season and was leading into the third quarter in that game, I believe. So, you know, obviously LaSalle playing better now than they were during week one of the regular season, which is to be expected if you're a team in the Super Bowl, but really flexed their muscles a little bit in that semifinal game, a game that some people – not us, but some people thought they could lose.
Yeah, definitely. What jumps out about the Super Bowl matchup, the first obvious thing is that it's a very similar situation to last year, where LaSalle came into the Super Bowl undefeated. Hendricken was 6-2, number two seed for the playoffs, and we know what happened. Hendricken pulled off maybe the biggest upset in Rhode Island Super Bowl history to win their second straight Super Bowl. So that's a similarity. The difference is, I think, this LaSalle team may be better, and there's a lot of seniors now. Their top, most talented players are seniors, and this Hendricken team is very different. They were kind of rebuilding again, reloading again. So when you look at that, LaSalle, probably an even bigger favorite this year.
Yeah, amazingly. Last year, you know, we talked about how it was the biggest upset in Super Bowl history, and it was. But if you looked at it, you know, as the season wore on, Hendricken was closer to LaSalle than it really looked on paper. You know, LaSalle had crushed them during the regular season, but that was really, really early in the season. I think they won 39-14 in week two or three. And then Hendricken kind of went on a roll from there and really, really peaked. And so by the time they did meet, it wasn't as lopsided as it was the first time. This time, the two teams met, you know, about a month ago, less than a month ago, 3 weeks ago, and LaSalle really controlled the game and won 28-7. So Hendricken doesn't have that full season to improve, to get better, and to kind of come together to even the playing field a little bit. They just played LaSalle. And when they did, they lost 28-7. So with that in mind, and how recent that matchup was, Yeah, I think these teams are farther apart now than the two teams were last year, which, yeah, means it would be a bigger upset, as crazy as that sounds, if Hendricken won this one.
Yeah. I mean, last year, we just looked back, and we had actually predicted in that game, we predicted LaSalle won by 2 points in the Super Bowl, even though, it was a monumental upset. We thought it was going to be a close game. This year, it does look tougher for Hendricken. Hendricken knows that. You know, we talked to Coach Croft after the game tonight, and he said, you know, obviously LaSalle's the best team.
Yep.
There's no question. No one's going to question that. That's what the players were saying. That's what everyone's saying. For Hendricken, it's just about that one game, just like it was last year. Just you only have to beat him one game, one time.
Yeah, you play him 10 times, you might lose 9 of them, but you don't have to beat him 10 times. No,
right.
You only have to beat him once.
Right.
And they proved last year that in a 48-minute football game, that can happen, even if you're a little overmatched physically and on paper.
Yeah, for Hendricken, obviously, I think we'll take a much better effort, to upset LaSalle this year, like we said. I think one of the keys for Hendricken is defensively, is what do they have to do to stop LaSalle?
It's hard. It's hard because, like we were saying earlier, LaSalle can do so many different things with their offense. They have probably the best quarterback in the state, a kid who was a first-team All-Stater last year, coming back, who is now head and shoulders above where he was last year. We both saw him play a bunch last year. We've seen him play a bunch this year, and he looks like he is in complete control. Anthony Francis is his name. An elite runner, and he's already thrown for over 2,000 yards on the season, so really, really excels at both. And so you say, okay, we want to stop Francis. He's the key, and he is, but in the backfield is the reigning Gatorade Player of the Year from last year, Josh Morris. So those two guys are what really make them go and are special players. But again, it's still not just them. You look to the outside, and they have two or three receiving weapons who are really, really big-time players, Tyneal Cooper and Keon Wilson, who were both big parts of the team last year, and then a kid this year who's really emerged and is actually their leading receiver in terms of receptions, Mitchell Da Silva. And what's different about them is Mitchell Da Silva kind of does the inside stuff. You know, think Wes Welker sort of deal. They throw it to him quick. They throw it to him on little slants, that sort of thing. Cooper and Wilson are much more the big play threats, and I think that sort of thing where they can throw short and they can throw long and they do it with different people kind of lulls the defense into a false sense sometimes, and they try and jump up onto Silva when you're getting 3, 4, 5 throws on him. That opens the big play down the field, and then you get a huge play for a touchdown. So they're contrasting moves with the receivers, and LaSalle knows kind of how to use them both perfectly to their advantage.
You know, we've talked all year about these guys for LaSalle, these skill players, and it's not to take away from the rest of the team because they've gotten great efforts. They're a really good offensive line. Their defense has been very good, second only to Hendricken in terms of points allowed. But those skill players, they really just stand out so much because they're at another level. They have 5 or 6 guys who are at another level from anyone else in the state.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think they have better skill guys at every spot than everybody else.
Yes.
It's not like they just have this collection of really good talent, and it surpasses everybody. Francis is the better quarterback, best quarterback in the state. Morris is probably the best running back in the state. Their combination of receivers is the best combination of receivers in the state. So it's not that just they're really good together. It's that individually they are all, you know, really, really standout players, and obviously together they are also standout players. They were second in offense in the state in terms of points scored, or rather in the division in terms of points scored, behind Portsmouth. But they've played Portsmouth twice, and you know, it's pretty clear who the dominant team is there when they've played them. So you're talking about the best offense in the state, and the best offense Division I has really seen in a little while, I think.
Yeah.
At least over the last few years. I mean, LaSalle wasn't this good offensively last year. Things weren't clicking quite this well. And I think one of the reasons for the change is Francis's growth. Their coach, Jeff Marcone, has told me that he's given Francis a little more freedom within the offense to kind of do what he wants to do. He actually gives him a few plays when he goes out there. Francis looks at the defense, diagnoses it, and calls what play he thinks should be run. And obviously he's doing a pretty good job of it because LaSalle's scoring 40 points every game, no matter who they're playing. So that's why I think they're a little more dangerous than they have been this year. That said, they're going against Hendricken, who has been the best defense in the state the last couple years, and if you look at points allowed strictly, they're the best team in Division I this year defensively. So it's a perfect matchup for them. You know, which unit, which is the best on those teams, can win out.
In terms of what Hendricken has to do, I think in terms of the kind of game you want to play, it's exactly what happened in the Super Bowl last year, where Hendricken was able to control the clock a little bit, was able to limit LaSalle's opportunities, force some turnovers, take advantage of penalties, capitalize on opportunities. And really the biggest thing I think is just just playing really well defensively, coming up big, being patient, not trying to collapse on these short routes from Da Silva because LaSalle will throw over the top. Mm-hmm. You've got to just be disciplined and play a perfect defensive football game.
Yeah, they have to play as well as they played tonight against East, and they did play tremendous. They gave up 21 points, but in the second half, I thought they played great defensively. As well as they played tonight, they're going to have to play better to beat LaSalle. I mean, they do. They have to bring it up to a level that they haven't played at yet this season if they're going to pull off this upset. And I think they have it in them in terms of reaching that level. I think they can still go a little higher. I think they're so emotionally charged, that defense, that maybe they hit their peak of what they can do physically, but then they turn it on a little more emotionally, and it gets them fired up, and it gets them ready. And I think they really believe in themselves in that regard. I think they think, it's kind of special to be wearing the Hendrick and Gold helmet. They've won the last two. They don't want to be the team that doesn't win the Super Bowl after winning the last two. And just like the last couple of years, their staple is their defense. And there's a lot of defensive pride there. We talk about Marco Del Vecchio, Jared Witherspoon, Mario McLean, the young secondary with a bunch of sophomores back there who have been making plays all season long. I mean, there's a lot of talent back there, a lot of big-name players. And they really, really take pride in keeping teams out of the end zone and playing the whole game. Even in games where they've been blowing teams out, it seems like they really take pride in keeping that shutout on the board, or that 6 points on the board, or whatever it may be. So, emotion, getting fired up, being prepared, and absolutely executing, is key for that defense. And I think they have it in them a little bit.
If Portsmouth was the team that could get into a shootout with LaSalle and win, Hendrickson is probably the team in the state that can try to slow down LaSalle and win that kind of game, win a low-scoring game. I don't know if they can do it, but that's the way it has to be.
Yeah, they have to.
Yeah. When you look at Hendrickson's offense, they ran the ball, like we talked about, extremely well against Cranston East. I mean, a good play for Cranston East in the second half was a four-yard gain.
Absolutely.
It was just huge holes. Remington Blue ran really well, 180 yards in the second half alone. Power Kangaroo ran really well. Patrick Gill, when he got opportunities, the quarterback ran well. The question is, can Hendrickson do that again? Because they're going to need to. The question is, can they do it again?
They didn't do it the first time they played LaSalle. I mean, they ran okay, a little bit better in the second half. But actually, most of the success they had came through the air. And that's fine, here and there. You can certainly sprinkle in some passes, and if you have success, that's great. But they're not going to win a football game by throwing for 250 or 300 yards. I just don't see it with their team, with the makeup of their team. But when they played East the first time during the regular season, they didn't run the ball great either, and they narrowly escaped with the win there. And then Coach Croft told us, there was a real emphasis on running the ball going into meeting East the second time. They had to run the ball better or they weren't going to win. And they did run the ball better. So I think it's the same sort of message. We have to run the ball better to beat LaSalle. It didn't turn out the way we wanted the first time, and a huge portion of that was because we didn't run the ball. If we can establish it, if we can play what they like to say, Hendrickson football, really pound the ball with that big offensive line, which is bigger than anybody's in the state, then they're playing Hendrickson football, then they're doing what they want, they're controlling the clock, they're probably putting a few points on the board that way, and they're making LaSalle play their game. LaSalle doesn't want to do that.
Right.
LaSalle doesn't want to see the fourth quarter come around and it be a one-score game, or it be a 14-10 game or something like that. That's what Hendrickson wants. If it's like that, Hendrickson feels real good going into the last 12 minutes of that game, and LaSalle's saying, wow, not, this is happening again.
Yeah.
So that's the goal, and that's what the running game is perfectly useful for, to keep it there, to shorten the game, and to keep the game close.
Yeah, the running game is kind of the first step, maybe in an upset possibilities.
Right.
If Hendrickson can run the ball and control the clock, that sets the stage for some other things to happen. And they still need a lot to happen, but that would be a big first step for them. Ultimately, when we talk about all this, it is a lot of things that have to happen for Hendrickson to get an upset. And I think the undercurrent on everything on the other side is that LaSalle has been here before, and these seniors don't want to go out without a championship.
Yeah. They really don't. I mean, they looked distraught last year, and understandably so, when they were the favorites and thought they were going to win. I think they fully expected to show up at the field last year and kind of mop the floor, I think, with Hendrickson and win that game and finish off their undefeated season and ride off. It didn't happen, and it looks like they've been playing with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder this year. There hasn't been a ton of talk, and they haven't been flying under the radar by any means, but it doesn't seem as if they're buying into their own hype quite as much. I think they understand they're the favorites, but there's unfinished business. I mean, there is unfinished business on the LaSalle side for sure. They hit hard when they're out there. They're emotional. They're excitable. and they want to win the Super Bowl. I mean, this class right now has never won the Super Bowl, right?
Yep.
This class that's going to produce guys that are going to go on to play at pretty solid colleges and play at the next level and has been, you know, some of the better players Rhode Island has seen in the last decade have not won a Super Bowl. So they know that. That's in the back of their minds. Yep. And I think at the end of the day, that's kind of the overriding theme of this Super Bowl. Unfinished business for LaSalle is kind of what's probably going to carry the day.
Yeah. So I don't think anyone is going to pick against LaSalle in this one, and we won't either. So our prediction in this one, we're going to take the Rams 35-17. You know, we think it certainly could be closer if things fall a certain way, but ultimately, I think the Rams are just too good this year.
Yeah, there's a recipe for Hendrickson to keep it close and to have a shot as the game winds down. But if things play out like we think they are, and like they have all year, and basically every game LaSalle has played this year, it won't be like that. So it's not a knock on Hendrickson by any means. It's quite a feat to get back to a third straight Super Bowl and even be in this position for a chance to win three in a row. And maybe they will. But for this one day, we think LaSalle's going to finally take it.
All right. That's going to do it for us here on the Football Focus podcast brought to you by Tommy's Pizza 2. This is our last podcast.
This is going to do it for the year.
It's very sad. But thank you, everybody, for tuning in this year. We had fun, and I hope you had fun listening. That's it. Enjoy the Super Bowl, and we'll see you next year.